Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear respected viewers of Madani Chan, we once again welcome you in our program, Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about life and legacy of Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan. Inshallah, Azzawajal, today, personality, inshallah, we'll be talking about is Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem. What a great personality, inshallah, to talk about and to learn from his life and legacy. So be with us from start to end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning and you will increase love of Ahlul Bayt, love of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem in your hearts. Let's go towards our Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Al-Thani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, Wasim Bhai, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli halin.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah. And zikr of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem. The zikr of Ali, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem is soul of our iman. It is the taste which you see you feel within your soul. You see when you do the dhikr, and this taste is also felt on your tongue when you mention the name of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem, as it is probably said. But Subhanallah, no doubt, this zikr itself is important, and one who is a mu'min, you see the mu'min, his iman, his faith is tested through the dhikr of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha. See, when he is he excited and he becomes pleased and becomes happy to hear the name and dhikr of Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, this is what you can certify that this person is a person of faith, Alhamdulillah. So we are going to talk about such a great personality. No doubt you must be excited too.
Indeed.
I am Alhamdulillah excited and happy to do zikr of fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem. In Islam, I would like to request you if you could just mention his blessed name and subhanAllah, the year of his birth. And then we'll take it further from his childhood. And then, inshallah, we'll talk about other fada'il and excellences and his seerah also, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you beautifully mentioned yourself, Rizwan, regarding the mention of the fourth caliph of Islam, Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem. I would like to add over here that our Imam, our leader, our guide, our master, the fountain of sainthood, the door to the knowledge of city, the son-in-law of the Prophet, the lion of Allah, the fourth caliph of Islam, Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza, Karramallahu Ta'ala, Wajhahul Kareem, is that personality that being associated to whom and following whose footsteps is a means of honor and privilege, the biggest honor and privilege anyone can ever attain. And he, radiallahu anhu, when we talk about him, the excellences, the attributes that Allah Almighty blessed him with, that on one side we see that he is the son-in-law of the Prophet, and on the other side he is the lion of Allah. On one side we see that he is the possessor of Zulfiqar, and on the other side he is Haider-e-Karrar. On one side we see that he is the husband of Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, and on the other hand he is the father of Hasnain-e-Karimain radiallahu anhum. On one side we see that he is the possessor of generosity, and on the other hand we see that there is none like him when it comes to bravery, as he is the lion of Allah. We see him to be the leader of those who are devout worshippers. He is fountain of devout worshippers where they learn how to worship. And on the other side, we also see that he is the imam of eloquence as well when it comes to knowledge. Wow. The knowledge he possesses, that is second to none. The hilm, the forbearance that he possesses, that is second to none. On one side, we see him to be the conqueror of Khaybar, and on the other side, we see him to be the leader in the field of sermonizing. In short, Rizwan Bey, if we want to summarize the personality of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in a few words, if we are to list down some of his characteristics, or if you want to list down his entire personality within a few words, it is not possible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that rank which is not given to everyone. In fact, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he is that personality who has been set as a benchmark to distinguish between a mu'min and a munafiq, a believer and a hypocrite. That is the personality that he radiallahu anhu is. There are not enough words that describe the eminence of Mula Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. There are not enough praiseworthy words that can justify to the great stature and status that Allah Almighty blessed him with, and the eminence and grandeur that he possesses. This is just to our a small tribute in the court of Mawla Mushkil Kusha, the fourth Caliph of Islam, Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, so that we can also attain blessings from his court, and we can also be amongst those who remember him, who love him, and who follow in his footsteps. Now, talking about his blessed name, Rizwan Bhai, Ali bin Abi Talib is his name, and his kunya, his patronymic name, is known as Abu al-Hasan and Abu Turab as well. The father of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, whose name is Abu Talib, he is the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So from this relation, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is the cousin of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as well. And the lineage of Mawla Mushkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is Ali bin Abi Talib bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was born 30 years after the year of elephant, Amul Fil. So the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was born in Amul Fil. So with this calculation, we can see that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was 30 years approximately younger than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Rasulullah asked me, there is one laqab which you just mentioned, is Abu Turab.
Subhanallah.
Right, mashallah. You also mentioned that this was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's one couplet which says, Usne laqabi khaak shahin shah sipaya. Usne laqabi khaak shahin shah sipaya. Jo hai dare karrar ke maula hama. So this Ptolemaic, this kunya which was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was much loved by Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And he wanted that someone address him with this ptolemy, this kunya, if someone would address him, he would love it, like it. Because why? This connection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this name and this kunya was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he had other kunya, Abu al-Hasan, and other kunya also, but subhanAllah, he liked to be called and addressed.
Wait, so that every time it would remind him of the Holy Prophet.
This was the love of Sahaba Ikram Ali bin Ridwan. From each and every angle, from every dimension, you look at their seerah, look at their life, subhanAllah, you find the element of love. What else would you like to share when it comes to the childhood of Rasul Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem?
Subhanallah. It's amazing, Rizwan Bhai, when we talk about the best childhood of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, how fortunate he is, and what great honor Allah Almighty blessed him with, that it was none other than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, under whose supervision he radiallahu anhu was brought up. Now, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem came under the guardianship of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How? Because the year he was born, the Quraysh were facing a famine, a drought, a severe drought. Now, the father of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, Abu Talib, he was the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And to look after his family members, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam took the custody of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, so in order to relieve burden from his uncle Abu Talib. And this is also something that we learn, that we should also try to relieve the problems and burdens of other family members. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in these severe testing times, when the Quraysh were facing a famine, a drought, so to relieve the burden of upbringing of children, Holy Prophet والسلام, took the custody of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh from Abu Talib. A great lesson from us as well. Now, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, he goes in the custody of the Holy Prophet والسلام, from a very young age. Now, just imagine that as soon as Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem opens his eyes, he sees the luminous beauty, the luminous face of the Holy Prophet والسلام, the luminous beauty of the Prophet والسلام, is before him. When he hears the first words, he would be hearing the speech of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he observes the conduct, he observes the blessed conduct of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
This is another beautiful explanation that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam named him Ali himself.
Subhanallah.
He was given the name of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. When Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem was born, Blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Ali. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam put his blessed saliva, this is the point I wanted to make, put his blessed saliva into his mouth, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then placed his blessed tongue into the mouth of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, and then placed his blessed tongue into his mouth, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala sick on the blessed tongue and slept sucking the blessed tongue. Allahu Akbar. Next day, the midwife was called, but Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem did not take milk.
Allah.
When this news reached the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he alayhi salatu wasalam arrived, and he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed tongue into the mouth of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And he radiallahu ta'ala an slept, Allahu Akbar, taking the blessed tongue of Nabi Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Does it continue till Allah Azza wa Jal will? Now, a child who had the first feed, which is the blessed saliva of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, can you imagine his fortune? Can you imagine his, subhanallah, excellence and eminence and status which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. It is right from that birth we are talking about, right? Being
Allah
in the company and being raised up in the company of Rasulullah. That comes later, which itself, it's a great honor to be in the company of Rasulullah right from the birth. And the one who is being trained and raised up, a tarbiyah has been done right from the birth, is the zaat of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. But even his first feed was the blessed saliva of beloved of Allah.
Subhanallah. And why wouldn't he be the source of sainthood? Why wouldn't he be the fountain of sainthood, from where sainthood, wilaya, is distributed, where he radiallahu anh is the one who's the leader and who has the authority of blessing sainthood to whomsoever he wills with the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rizwan Bey, the point we were talking about of his upbringing in his very early childhood. You see, Rizwan Bey, we often talk about molding the character of children in a young age. That is the age where we can mold their nature to whichever way we want to. We would see that many ulama, many elite ulama, scholars of the past even, we would see in their seerah that they started studying Islam or devoted themselves towards this very field from a very young age, and then they come on this path. This is in general the observation we see. So often it is said that if you want your children to be in a certain way, then you need to start working on them from a very young age, because once the habits are formed in a young age, they sort of tend to stay throughout the life of the child. This is the general observation. Now, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, from the very young age, the habits are being instilled in him by none other than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whom the entire universe is created, who is the guide of the universe, who taught humanity what humanity is, through whom humanity attained the recognition of humanity. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself is embedding character and embedding habits within the nature of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. So we can imagine what great upbringing he would have had and what great nature he would have possessed. As we normally see that students are often known through their teachers as well. From whom did they acquire education? This is also normally a way of looking at the greatness of a student. General observation this is. Now, when someone is brought up by none other than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, then why wouldn't he become Mawla Kainat? Why wouldn't he become Mawla Sher-e Khuda, the Lion of Allah?
It's a wonderful discussion what we are doing right now, but now it's the time to include one segment in our program.
Lives of the Companions of the Allah.
How is it to run for Salah so that one catches the rakah?
It is written on page number 354 of Maktabatul Madina's book Faizan-e-Namaz that Takbir-e-Ula, i.e. the primary takbir that is said, to run for Takbir-e-Ula or Jama'at is forbidden. If you lose your breath, you will not get humility in Salah. You won't be able to offer Salah wholeheartedly. The book of Maktabatul Madina, that is the publication department of Da'wat-e-Islami, comprising of 168 pages entitled Jaldbazi ke Nuksanat. On page 31 to 32 it says, indeed, it is a great honor to offer Salah with Jama'at in Takbir-e-Ula. As Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he who offers Salah with Jama'at in Takbir-e-Ula for 40 days for the pleasure of Allah Almighty, two kinds of salvations are recorded for him. One is salvation from hell and the other is from hypocrisy. After this, it is written that some Islamic brothers run to get Takbir-e-Ula, because of which a stamping noise on the ground is created, which is against the manners of the masjid. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say that when takbir for salah is called out, then do not come running. Rather, come whilst walking peacefully. Offer what you get and complete what you miss. Under this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah states, meaning that do not come running for jama'at anxiously, as there's a risk of falling down and getting injured in it. We learn a few rulings from this. One, it is mustahab to come for jama'at peacefully and with calmness. Running is contrary to mustahab. It's not haram. Two, if you get the last part of salah even, then you will get the jama'at. Therefore, he who joins in the attahiyat of jum'ah salah, i.e. he joins the jum'ah salah, in tashahud, he should offer jum'ah, meaning that he found the jama'at. Third, whichever rak'ah the muqtadi joins in, that is the first rak'ah from the perspective of number, and last from the perspective of qira'at. The Honorable Mufti further writes, since he left his house with the intention of salah, he is getting the reward for salah. So why does he then rush, fall down and get injured? He should come calmly and offer whatever he gets. Remember that if a person walks to the masjid a little bit fast to get Takbir-e-Ula or the jama'at such that there's no risk of falling down or getting injured, then there's no harm in it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Lives of the Companions radiallahu anhum.
Respect viewers of Madani Channel, we were listening a message and we have heard, subhanallah, beautiful message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to act upon. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. We were talking about Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Masih Abbas, there is a word Mawla, right? And this is a specific hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam regarding Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. But before that, I've got a beautiful ayah of Quran I would like to mention, and then inshallah you can further elaborate on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الظَّهِيرُ. Allah is his helper, and Jibreel, and the righteous believers, and also the angels are appointed as his helpers. Now, commenting on this ayah of the Holy Quran, Allama Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has stated, Sayyidina Asma bint Umais radiyallahu ta'ala anha has heard the Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam saying the words in this word, righteous believers, refers to Sayyidina Ali.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala has narrated, when this blessed verse was revealed, blessed and beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam took the hand of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem in his hand and said, this, meaning Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, is a righteous believer.
Subhanallah.
So he is the helper. Alhamdulillah. Mushkil kusha. Subhanallah. So there is another beautiful hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned him, Mawla also, isn't it?
Ji, indeed, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself declares Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu as Mawla, that whosoever's Mawla I am, Ali is his Mawla. And may Allah bless you, Rizwan, by the way, mashallah, you mentioned the verse of the Quran, it really refreshed me as well. I was really enjoying listening to the praise of Mawla Mushkil Kusha radiallahu anhu in the verse.
He's been mentioned as righteous believer.
As righteous believer. And another concept has been clarified for us over here, that when Mawla is being referred to Mawla Mushkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, it is the helper. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned in the Quran regarding the angels being the helpers, the believers being the helpers, so and so forth.
And salihul mu'mineen.
And salihul mu'mineen, the righteous believers, so and so forth. So this is by the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He grants us authority to His chosen servants to help the creation. And it is this element of helping by the which refers to the term Mawla that we are referring to over here, when we say Mawla Mushkil Kusha, Mawla Ali al-Murtaza, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is the helper of this ummah by the bestowment, by the grant given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we refer to him as Mawla Mushkil Kusha. This is our belief, alhamdulillah, as mentioned in the Quran and as mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well, where he mentioned,
no doubt he is our sardar,
indeed,
he is our master, he is our Mawla, no doubt. Why can he not be Mawla? Whereas he normal imam of the masjid, who is an alim-e-deen, we call him Mawlana.
And the root word over here again is Mawla, from which
so if
Mawlana
imam
is derived.
Alim-e-deen, Islamic scholar can be called Mawlana, then why not Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha be called Mawla? And he has been declared by Rasulullah himself as Mawla. So, Mr. Yusuf Padani, we are talking about Zat of Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem. Wasimai, any other elements from his subhanallah blessed personality you would like to highlight?
There are many, Rizwan bhai. I'm just thinking which one to talk about. But one standout feature which we find in his personality, the great account of migration, when the migration took place. Now, at this very point of time, the loyalty that Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem showed in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the beliefs that he had, that is something for us to learn from, that what exactly were the beliefs of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and what loyalty he showed towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And for that, we need to understand the contextual background,
right,
first of all. Now, when the event of migration took place, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he intended to migrate from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to migrate from Makkah to Madinah. Now, this is the second migration. First, the Muslims migrated to Abyssinia and then to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Now, when this command was given by Allah Almighty, now Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he calls Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and he tells him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to migrate from Makkah,
right,
to Medina. So today I will leave for Medina. I will migrate to Medina. And he says to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu that you lie on my bed,
Allah,
and you take my green shawl over and go asleep. Tomorrow in the morning, and the Prophet carries on to say that you'll not be harmed. He tells him that you will not be harmed. In the morning, return all the belongings to the owners in Quraysh, return all the entrustments to the owners in Quraysh, and then you too also come to Medina. Now, this is how this entire incident took place. Now, in the background, we need to understand that the disbelievers, they had casted so many oppressions upon the Muslims that it had become very difficult for them to survive in Makkah al-Mukarrama. And this was a very delicate situation, very delicate point in the history of Islam.
They had made a plan.
They had made a plan.
The conference which actually happened.
They had made a plan. They had plotted to, ma'adullah, martyr the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He knew this.
Sleeping on that bed meant sleeping on a deathbed.
Indeed. Indeed. Very nicely put. So this is what he knew, but Sayyidina Ali karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, now look at his iman, look at his belief, look at his faith. Now he says to himself that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to me that you will not be harmed.
You'll come to Medina.
Come to Medina after returning belongings to their owners in Quraysh, then come to Medina. So Sayyidina Ali karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he had firm belief
that I will go to
Medina. That nothing will happen to me. I'll sleep peacefully on this bed. No one can harm me. And I will stay alive in the morning. And I'll also get to migrate to Medina. He had this firm belief. He knew that the sun can rise from the west. He knew that water can turn dry. He knew that water can turn cold. But whatever the Prophet ﷺ has said, that will definitely happen. That will definitely take place. And because the Prophet ﷺ said that nothing will happen to you, you will not be harmed, hence I will stay safe. So Sayyidina Ali karramullahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he sleeps on the blessed bed of the Prophet ﷺ peacefully. And he says that I never slept as peacefully as I slept on that very night. He sleeps peacefully and he says that in the morning I woke up after sleeping. I woke up, I returned all the entrustments, all the belongings to their owners in Quraysh, and all this was done openly. I wasn't hiding or I wasn't doing this secretly. I was doing all this openly, and I stayed like this for 3 days in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and then I left for Medina, and even on the way no one harmed me even in the slightest, to the extent that I reached Quba. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ was staying in the home of Sayyidina Kulthum radiallahu anh, and I also stayed over there. So this event in its own Rizwan shows us the loyalty, the devotion and the aqeedah of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that he believed in the news of the unseen, that the Prophet ﷺ gave, that tomorrow morning return everything to their owners and you will not be harmed and you will come to Medina. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh had firm belief in the news of the unseen given by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and apparently looking very dangerous bed, that became a peaceful sleeping abode for him, and the sleep that he had that night, he never experienced that ever before. This was the aqidah of Ali radiallahu anh, which we need to also learn from.
They were ready to even sacrifice their, you see, each and everything they had.
Everything they had. And it's not only that, Rizwan, but the contentment he received upon the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that you will not be harmed after returning the belongings, come to Medina. He says all his worries were gone. And he slept on that bed so peacefully.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful, respected Bishop Badin Shail, we heard an account of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mashkiku Shakar, radallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Now it's time to include one segment, and actually this segment is words of wisdom. Let's include this. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respected viewers, today, words of wisdom we've brought for you. There is no evil in good presumption and no goodness in evil presumption. So we should avoid negative thinking. And always we should have, try to have positive thinking and always think good about others as much as possible, inshallah. We should try to have husne zan, inshallah, and this is something we have learned today. Respecting those, we are talking about Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Wasim Abbas, a very interesting an account, you can say, or a waqia which actually is linked and related to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem's life, and it tells us so much knowledge at the same time. And he is door of knowledge, subhanAllah. And from this account, we can learn so much. We can learn that what a personality he was and what was he asking. And from whom he was asking, who is city of knowledge. And subhanAllah. And then there is ayah of Quran upon which only one Sahabi Rasul acted upon. And this was the ayah upon which Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhahu al-Kareem acted upon. And this is one. His unique excellence. This is, see, subhanAllah,
Specific to him.
Specific to Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Ta'ala. Sadra Fadil al-Lama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Aimuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, when the wealthy people, they prolonged their questioning and discussion in the blessed court of Rasul alayhi wa sallam, they ask a lot of questions. When this prolonged, as a result, the poor hardly found any time to submit their requests in the blessed court of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Then divine command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of giving charity before submitting requests was revealed. And Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem complied with the command by paying sadaqah and asked some ruling. So he paid sadaqah and asked his ruling.
Right.
And after he acted upon this, that ruling was
abrogated. Allah,
and subhanAllah, what were the questions? This is another important thing. This is takhsis of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, specific excellence, unique excellence for him, which highlights his excellence and eminence. But at the same time, when I was reading, subhanAllah, the questions he asked from Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, they're amazing. Full of knowledge, subhanAllah, and so much to learn from. He asked Noble Rasul alayhi wa sallam, what is loyalty?
Right.
We also want to know what is loyalty. The Rasul alayhi wa sallam replied, the oneness of Allah azza wa jalla and testifying it.
SubhanAllah.
This is loyalty.
He
radiallahu anhu asked, what is turmoil? Rasul alayhi salatu salam replied, disbelief and polytheism.
Right.
He radiallahu an asked, what is truth? Rasul alayhi salatu salam replied, Islam. Islam is the best religion before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The glorious Quran and sainthood when you attain them. This is the truth. Islam, the glorious Quran and sainthood when you attain them. He radiallahu an asked, what is necessary upon me? We should also learn this, isn't it? What is necessary upon us? Noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, obedience to Allah and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi
wa
sallam. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So this is necessary upon us, that we obey Allah and his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He radiallahu anhu asked, how do I beg from Allah azza wa jal? Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, with absolute truth and conviction. He radiallahu anhu asked, what do I beg for? What a question, subhanAllah, it is. Allahu Akbar. And this is, you see, he's just summarizing everything. Even after 1400 years, we are learning a lot from those questions he posed in the court of Rasul.
And people will do so until the day of judgment.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So it is again his help for us, isn't it? He helped us. And we are, alhamdulillah, gaining that benefit.
Indeed.
Holy Rasul alayhi sallam replied, the hereafter.
SubhanAllah. What was the question again?
What do I beg for?
SubhanAllah.
See, normally we beg for dunya and all this.
Wealth and...
But actually, what is the true wealth and what should we beg in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is
the hereafter.
No doubt, we should ask for the betterment of this dunya and the hereafter. But preference has been made here. If you highlight it here, what to ask, subhanAllah. And then, what should I do for my salvation? This was another question. The noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, eat halal.
SubhanAllah.
And speak the truth.
SubhanAllah.
And this is another very important question here. So, are we eating halal? Are we speaking
very
the truth?
Important.
Okay. To earn haram, sometimes we lie, isn't it? And then we consume haram and earn haram. We think that just where this is halal label is there, you see, that is halal only. No, source of income, that's also important.
Indeed.
That should be halal. And eat halal and speak the truth. He radiallahu anhu asked, what is pleasure? The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, Jannah.
SubhanAllah.
No doubt. He radiallahu anhu asked, what is comfort and tranquility? Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam replied, seeing the blessed sight of Allah.
Allah. SubhanAllah.
When Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem completed his questions, this command was abrogated, bringing relief. No one except Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem acted upon this blessed verse of the Holy Quran. O people who believe, when you wish to humbly consult with the noble messenger, give some charity before your consultation. So this is again a unique excellence, eminence of Sayyidina Ali Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem, and he acted upon this very verse of the Holy Quran. And what a beautiful questions he asked from Rasul alayhi salam. And today we are benefiting from that. And why would he not ask such questions? Because he was himself a door of knowledge, and he was asking from city of knowledge.
That is only sometimes, or most of the times, the eminence of questioner is also reflected through the questions he asks.
No doubt, absolutely.
And in this case, we can see the beauty of the questions is like the entire charter of our life, if we are to put it in this way, that if we just revolve our life around the principles of what was asked in this dialogue between Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, only if we revolve our life around this very charter,
there is a salvation for us.
Indeed, the success in this world and in the hereafter.
Subhanallah. What would you like to share with us?
Subhanallah. Mawla Mushkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem is that personality who is beloved to Allah Almighty and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So where we see that Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he himself is also devotionally devoted towards Allah Almighty and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but we also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also love Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. There's a narration before me, Rizwan bhai, regarding the day of Khaybar.
Okay.
And beautiful account which shows the eminence of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Sayyidina Sahal bin Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Khaybar that tomorrow I'll give this flag to the one upon whose hands Allah will give victory. Up until now, Khaybar was not being conquered. So Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that tomorrow I'll give this flag in the hand of the one upon whose hands Allah will give victory. And Allah and His beloved love Him, and He loves Allah and His beloved. So Allah and His messenger love Him, and He loves Allah and His messenger. Such a great honor for this very personality. Now the narrator, he says that when the Prophet ﷺ made this declaration, all the Sahaba, they spent that night in anxiety, in restlessness, that who that personality will be tomorrow. So when the next day came, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he called for Ali bin Abi Talib karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. He said, where is Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu? Now the blessed companions, they replied to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is suffering from an illness of the eyes. He is suffering from a pain in his eyes. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that, call him to me. So Ali radiyallahu anhu, he came in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied his blessed venerated saliva in the eyes of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem and supplicated for him. Now with the blessings of this, his eyes straight away instantly recovered, and recovered such as if they were never in pain. This is the recovery that his eyes, they attained. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he granted that flag to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Now Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I fight them until they become Muslim? Now the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied that, observe softness, go to them and call them towards Islam, and tell them that after embracing Islam, what rights of Allah will be obligated upon them. And by Allah, if one person is guarded through you, it is better for you than even red camels. Now in this very account is one where we come to know about the eminence of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam granted him the flag of victory. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also guided him further in terms of guiding people. And what a great act this is. And it also serves a great, it also delivers a great lesson for us that we should also guide other people. But again, in this account as well, Rizwan, where we come to know of the ilmul ghaib of the Prophet alayhi salam, والسلام, of the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet والسلام, that I will give this flag to the one upon whose hands Allah will grant his victory tomorrow. And undoubtedly, the history is witness that Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, the lion of Allah, then brought victory at the expedition of Khaybar, and Muslims attained that great, marvelous victory over there that is written in golden words in the history of Islam.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, no doubt. Respected viewers, now it's time to include one segment in our program. Let's include this segment, Did You Know? Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala,
Lies of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Ji, Wasim will ask a few questions and their answers. From which substance did Allah Almighty create every earthly living thing?
SubhanAllah, it is by water. From water, Allah Almighty created everything in question which you just asked.
Okay.
Your question is only, for how long was Baitul Muqaddas the Qibla for Muslims after migration?
Ji, the answer is 16 or 17 months.
SubhanAllah.
Right?
SubhanAllah.
Was Baitul Muqaddas the Qibla for Muslims after the migration?
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Now, another question is, on which day did the Qibla change?
SubhanAllah, there are different opinions, and according to one opinion, it was changed on Monday 15th of Rajab to Hijri. When was fasting in Ramadan prescribed?
Yeah, fasting in Ramadan prescribed in Shaaban 2nd after Hijri.
SubhanAllah.
When was Sadaqah Fitr prescribed?
SubhanAllah, that was again in 2 Hijri. In the 2nd Hijri, Sadaqah Fitr was prescribed.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Wasim al Azmi, we are talking about Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And a beautiful hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is before me, and I would like to recite.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great excellence does this mention, subhanAllah. Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has been reported to have said that to Sayyidina Ali, Anta minni bi manzilati Haruna min Musa illa annahu la nabiyya ba'di.
SubhanAllah.
You are in the same position with relation to me as Sayyidina Harun ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was in relation to Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, but there is no prophet after me.
SubhanAllah.
So two things are very much clear. That the excellence of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem has been mentioned.
Indeed.
And this has been clearly described in this hadith that there is no new prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in any way, form or shape.
Indeed.
Because Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu sallam is the final messenger prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seal of the prophethood.
Indeed.
So there can never be any prophet, any new prophet coming after Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this is the zaat of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, who has been subhanAllah compared with Harun and the relationship of Sayyidina Musa.
SubhanAllah. And Rizwanbi, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem is that personality that respecting whom, loving whom, was commanded by the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded to love and have respect for Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem.
Respected viewers, now it's time to include our final segment in our program. Let's include hadith of the day. We'll come back, we'll also mention a few ahadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions.
Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala, he states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حُزْنٍ وَلَا أَذَنْ وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ يُشَاكُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ. Now this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no difficulty or no illness afflicts a Muslim, reaches a Muslim, and no worry, no grief, no pain, and no sadness reaches a Muslim, to the extent that even the prick of a thorn which pricks a Muslim, this does not occur except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sins due to those afflictions. Whatever he is afflicted with, whether it's illness, whether it's sadness, grief, worry, concern, even if a thorn were to prick a person, Allah ta'ala will forgive a person's sins due to that difficulty, that calamity that he had to face, the Muslim had to face. So subhanAllah, the affair of a Muslim is beautiful. Every single situation, even when he's being harmed, reward is obviously given when a person does good. Even when a person goes through difficulty, he's being rewarded. His sins are being forgiven. We should keep this hadith in mind. We go through so many tests in life. We go through so many tribulations, so many hardships in life, which no doubt every person has to go through. This is life. This is the world that we live in. It's a place of test. This is not Jannah. But when we go through those difficulties, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's marital difficulties, difficulties concerning our children, worries that reach us because of work, worries that reach us because of parents turning old and facing ill health, all these types of worries that we face, what we told in the hadith, whatever worry, whatever grief, whatever sadness, whatever illness, whatever difficulty, whatever pain, even the prick of a thorn, Allah Ta'ala forgives a person's sins because of what he is facing. We should keep this hadith in mind. But inshallah, it will be easier for us to face those trials, to face those hardships and tribulations. And we'll come out the other side, inshallah, cleansed of our sins. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to take lessons from this beautiful hadith.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Yes, respect to Yusuf and Hisham, we were listening hadith of the day. Nasib Wazbek, you were also talking about hadith of Rasul alayhi salam. Which hadith would you like to mention?
Once Rizwanvi, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that bring the leader of Arab, meaning Haydar al-Karrar, to me.
Allah.
So this is how he refers to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, that bring the chief, the leader of Arab, Ali, to me. Now, the mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you not the leader of Arab? Are you not the chief of the Arab? Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied that, I am the leader of the children of Adam, meaning of the entire universe. And Ali is the leader, the chief of Arab. So now, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he came in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And now the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called the Ansar Sahaba as well. So after they arrived, then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that, O group of Ansar, shall I not tell you something by acting upon which you will never be deviated from the right path?
Right.
So they said that, why not, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please do mention that to us. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he said that he is Ali. This is Ali. Now you love me, along with loving me, love Ali as well. Along with respecting me, respect, honor Ali as well. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that what I commanded you of, this has been revealed to me through a wahi, through Jibreel alayhi salam. So this very command is from Allah Almighty. You see, Rizwanvi, the point we were talking about, that loving Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, respecting him, honoring him, is commanded by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the beautiful chain of transmission through which it came to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Who did the command come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's bringing it? The chief of the angels, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Who is it coming to? The leader of the prophets, Sayyid al-Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And what is the command? To love Ali, to respect Ali, to honor Ali.
One more important point, who is narrating this?
Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, in the middle she asked this question. The narrator was Sayyidina Hassan bin Ali. Sayyidina Hassan bin Mujtaba radiallahu anha was the narrator of this narration initially. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, in the middle she asked that. How beautifully it has come from Allah Almighty throughout Angel Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the command is to love, to honor, to respect Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, and also shows us how important it is for our faith, for our iman, to love, to honor, to respect Sayyidina Ali radiallahu
anhu. Iman, isn't it? No doubt. Respected viewers and Wasim Bhai, there is another beautiful hadith before me, Tanzul Umar, volume 6, page 277, hadith 32911. It has been narrated by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, Aliyum minni bi manzilati ra'si min badani. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, to me is like my head to my body.
Subhanallah.
Our head to the body, this relation you can understand.
Subhanallah.
How important the relationship is. See, this comparison itself tells you the importance of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem to Rasulullah alayhi salam. Another beautiful Jami Tirmizi, volume 5, page 402, hadith 3744. Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam has been reported to have said, Ana darul hikmati wa aliyun babuha. I am house of wisdom, and Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem is its door. With some other different wordings, we also find that Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, who has reported to have said, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that I am city of knowledge and Ali is its door. So, house of wisdom, city of knowledge is Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, and Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem is the door of knowledge as well as door of wisdom. So, if you need wisdom, you need to go
through the door.
The court of Ali Murtaza. If you need knowledge, you have to go through that door. And the court of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem is important for both. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to love Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, to teach love of Mawla Ali Mashkil Kusha karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. This is the reason why we bring these programs, alhamdulillah. This is the reason why we mention these ahadith, we mention these fada'il, excellences, manaqib of these great pious predecessors, likes of Sahaba Ikram Arim Ridwan, Khulafa Rashidin, and other Sahaba Ikram Arim Ridwan, inshallah, in the program Lives of the Companions.
Just to summarize today's discussion, Ridwan Bhai, mashallah, the last narrations that you've mentioned, it also implies that we cannot go to the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without going through the court of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Going to the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by skipping ma'adallah the court of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem would render one deviated from the right path. And again, just to summarize our entire discussion of today, very small hadith that Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, that Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that wherever in the Holy Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu, O you who believe, at seven places Allah Almighty has addressed us by saying, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu, O you who believe. Wherever Allah Almighty addressed with these words, then this very group of believers of mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu, is their leader and chief. So Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is declaring the status of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So this beautiful saying that wherever in the Quran Allah Almighty says, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu, O you who believe, Ali radiallahu anhu is the chief and leader of that very group. What else do we need in the praise of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, where the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has declared him as the leader of those who are being addressed as mu'minun in the Holy Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Respected viewers of Malaysia, that's all for today. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Inshallah, we'll talk about Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Lies of the Companions, رضي الله عنهم.